This program is being recorded for broadcast and replay on our website, on Awakening Together Radio, and on our YouTube channel. Please be aware that by speaking or typing on the board, you give consent to have your comments become a part of the recording. And now we'll have Reverend Regina Dawn Akers present her program, Enlightened Leadership, Guidance from the Tao Te Ching.
All right. Hi, everybody. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 13 in the Tao Te Ching. But before we do that, I'm going to play a song. So, the song is called Take These Thoughts, and it's by Chris and Thomas, whoever they are.
And all I want is all that you possess, and all I want is all that I can get. And I can breathe for the things I see and the things I want, and I long to be, and I pray much more than I'd ever need, and I take it all just the way I please. Take these thoughts, put them in your basement. Take these thoughts, they're heavy and they're old. Don't let them steal your soul. And all you got is all that you deserve. Isn't a real word, and I can breathe for the things I see and the things I want, and I long to be, and I crave much more than I ever need, and I take it all just the way I please. Take these thoughts, put them in your basement. Take these thoughts and send them down the track. Make sure they don't come back. They come back round, just burn the whole place down.
was a nice song. I like take these thoughts, and if they come back, burn this whole place down. Meaning, of course, the mind, right? Destroy the mind. It's a great, great song. So it's good to see you guys. I'm here in La Vida. Been here since yesterday, but I've just been kind of hanging out at the condo. I haven't been over to the retreat house. We have a rainy day here today. But up north, there's a massive blizzard. In Colorado Springs and Denver and Fort Collins, they've closed everything down. And here we just have a windy day with some light rain. So we're getting the better end of that deal today. We're going to be starting on with the Derek Lynn version. I'm going to read chapter 13, and then we'll see what we do after that. So, favor and disgrace make one fearful. The greatest misfortune is the self. What does favor and disgrace make one fearful mean? Favor is high, disgrace is low. Having it makes one fearful. Losing it makes one fearful. This is favor and disgrace make one fearful. What does the greatest misfortune is the self mean? The reason I have great misfortune is that I have the self. If I have no self, what misfortune do I have? So one who values the self as the world can be given the world. One who loves the self as the world can be entrusted with the world. One who values the self as the world can be given the world. One who loves the self as the world can be entrusted with the world. I got to tell you, I felt like I was following this till we got to that last little part there, and I went, huh? I'm going to read the footnote to that last part, to the third stanza. This is the recipe for managing the ego. Note that Lao Tzu does not advocate that we should be completely without ego or that we should eliminate it. I don't know if that's true, but we'll go on and find out. We need at least a moderate sense of self to function in society. Therefore, it is perfectly fine to value and love the ego as long as we don't focus so much on ourselves that we neglect the world. As Tao cultivators, we love and value the world. Our caution against the sensory stimuli of the world does not make us distant or uncaring. We can be joyously involved with the world and yet totally unaffected by its temptations and distractions. So that's what Derek Lynn wrote. Before I make any comment whatsoever, I'm going to look at the other translations. So we'll go to Dr. Wayne Dyer first. Favor and disgrace seem alarming. High status greatly afflicts your person. Why are favor and disgrace alarming? Seeking favor is degrading. Alarming when it is gotten. Alarming when it is lost. Why does high status greatly afflict your person? The reason we have a lot of trouble is that we have selves. If we had no selves, what trouble would we have? Man's true self is eternal, yet he thinks, I am this body and will soon die. If we have no body, what calamities can we have? One who sees himself as everything is fit to be the guardian of the world. One who loves himself as everyone is fit to be the teacher of the world. So I am wondering, and of course, we have to put this down just to wondering, because unless I learn ancient Chinese, we're not going to get the answer. But I am wondering, you know, we distinguish between the true self and the false self in English by putting a little S for the false self and a capital S for the true self. But, you know, in Chinese with the character, there's not a chance, there's not an opportunity to do that. So I'm wondering if the word self in ancient Chinese is the exact same character, and you have to have enough understanding of the context around what's being said to understand whether he's talking about the little self or the true self right now. And if maybe Derek Lin didn't have that understanding. Because when I look at the Derek Lin translation, if I look at the middle paragraph, here's what the middle paragraph says. What does the greatest misfortune is the self mean? The reason I have great misfortune is that I have the self. If I have no self, what misfortune do I have? Now that makes perfect sense with the little s self, right? But then in the last paragraph, what Derek still has here is a little s self where Wayne Dyer went to a capital S self. But if we listen to it with the little s self, you'll hear it doesn't make sense. No one who values the self as the world, one who values the self as the world can be given the world. One who loves the self as the world can be entrusted with the world. That doesn't make any sense following the previous paragraph that just said basically that the only problem is the self. The two paragraphs don't click together. But if we capitalize the self in this last paragraph, it makes perfect sense. So one who values the true self as the world, sees the world as the true self, can be given the world. One who loves the true self as the world, understands that's what the world is, can be entrusted with the world. So I think that maybe Derek Lin is mistaken here. I think that Lao Tzu is not advocating that we should maintain some sense of ego. In fact, again, in the middle paragraph, what he's clearly saying is that the ego is the only cause of problems, right? The small self. So that's why it's sometimes helpful to look at more than one translation. Plus, the Tao is all about being empty, right? And being empty would be being empty of self. Let me go ahead and look at Stephen Mitchell. Stephen Mitchell says, success is as dangerous as failure. Hope is as hollow as fear. What does it mean that success is as dangerous as failure? Whether you go up the ladder or down it, your position is shaky. When you stand with your 2 feet on the ground, you will always keep your balance. What does it mean that hope is as hollow as fear? Hope and fear are both phantoms that arise from thinking of the self. When we don't see the self as self, what do we have to fear? See the world as yourself. Have faith in the way things are. Love the world as yourself. Then you can take care of all things. So what I think I'm going to do, since I think Derek, bless his heart, did not really understand Lao Tzu completely and therefore mistranslated, I'm going to go with Wayne Dyer today. So again, this is the 13th verse. Before I go on, I want to say one thing. It's clear that Derek Lin perceives himself as a Taoist, if you pay any attention. Obviously, Stephen Mitchell doesn't see himself as a Taoist, and Wayne Dyer doesn't see himself as a Taoist. Oftentimes when people are identified with a particular faith, and it really doesn't matter what it is, Taoism, Buddhism, Christianity, A Course in Miracles. They're misunderstanding that which they're identified with. If they had a true understanding, they couldn't actually be identified with it. If that makes any sense at all. You know, so if you talk to a what we call a fundamentalist Course in Miracles student, someone who believes the Course is the truth, I think you will always, I hate to say always because I don't know every fundamentalist in the world, but I've certainly met enough of them. I'm going to say pretty much always, but it might be always. You'll find confusion in their understanding. Otherwise, they couldn't be a fundamentalist, right? Buddhists, I know a number of Buddhists, even our my beloved Thich Nhat Hanh included. If you read Thich Nhat Hanh, although there's a lot of clarity in Thich Nhat Hanh, you can also find his confusion, which comes from being attached to Buddhist dogma. So maybe part of Derek Lynn's challenge in translating the Tao Te Ching is that he sees himself as a Taoist, which means that some of his learning came from outside, and he's believing the learning that came from outside, and he's not really translating with inner wisdom. Just a maybe. You know, like I know that I haven't heard anything from people in a long time, but the first couple of classes that took the MPP Buddhist class complained. Not because of the course that I wrote, but because of what they had to read that Thich Nhat Hanh was saying. And so what I really did was I rewrote the course. I rewrote the course and I rewrote the facilitator's guide to help frame what Thich Nhat Hanh was saying. But the things that he was saying that people were complaining about were things that were coming from Buddhist religious dogma, right? Rather than from inner wisdom. In fact, a little bit of a side, but I'll go ahead and say it because it came to me to say it. I noticed that the radio is back up. That's good news. We actually considered getting rid of the radio because, you know, it's just one more thing we have to do. And sometimes it goes down. And the last time it went down, it took Jacqueline, 2 days of work to figure out how to get it back up. And we're just like, let's just get rid of it. And it costs money. It costs us $115 a month. You know, well, let's just get rid of this thing. And I think let's get rid of this thing was actually my idea. But guidance came to me one day. I think I was driving down the road. I think I was driving to La Vida when the guidance came in. I may be wrong about that. But the guidance was clear. The guidance was that we're not getting rid of the radio. And the reason that we're not getting rid of the radio is because on the radio, we play teachings from several different non-dual teachers, a whole gamut of non-dual teachers. And what the guidance said is without the radio, awakening together is at risk over time of becoming dogmatic. In other words, we could become fundamentalist awakening together people, whatever you would call an awakening togetherist. And in fact, we are to encourage people to listen to the radio when the sanctuary is not open, to make sure that people aren't focusing solely on the sanctuary. And again, we weren't told that we were becoming dogmatic right now. We were told that over time that could happen. And you can really see that happens to nearly every organization. You know, it's happened to Christian Science. You know, it's happened to A Course in Miracles. I mean, you can just see people who really dive into only one thing. That one thing then for some reason becomes distorted and it turns into a separation device rather than an awakening device. So our radio, believe it or not, is a part of this organization that keeps us from being focused solely on the few programs that we focus on and the few teachers that we focus on within the sanctuary. It keeps us open. So so that was the guidance about the radio. So let me go back to this 13th verse then from Wayne Dyer. Favor and disgrace seem alarming. High status greatly afflicts your person. And in fact, I do want to go ahead and look at the Derek Lynn translation of that line, because I think he said that part really well. He said, favor and disgrace make one fearful. The greatest misfortune is the self. What does favor and disgrace make one fearful mean? Favor is high. Disgrace is low. Having it makes one fearful. Losing it makes one fearful. This is favor and disgrace make one fearful. I've known a couple of people that, you know, compared to me, have a whole lot of money. Of course, that doesn't take much. But they have a whole lot of money. And what I find interesting about these two people in particular that I'm thinking of right now that have a whole lot of money is that they're very fearful about money. And that's kind of an example of what this particular verse is talking about. Both of these people could quit work today, quit earning money today, and they would have more money than they need to live on till the day they die, even if they live to be 110 years old, right? There's just no reason for them to be afraid of losing money, of not having money. You know, they might want to move it out of the stock market into the savings account or something, but in the savings account without earning hardly any interest at all, they'd be fine forever, for as long as their bodies last. But what this is talking about is that even if we achieve status, achieve money, achieve power, achieve fame, if we identify with that, if we see that as who we are, or if we see that as our safety, then there's going to be a fear that we'll lose it. One thing that fame and status and power does is it covers up the deeper belief, which is still false, but the deeper belief that, you know, we're not good enough, the I am bad thought. And of course, most people aren't conscious of that. So if I'm the CEO of a really successful company, or if I'm Donald Trump, you know, the president of the United States, and I identify with that, I get my boost from that. But what that's really hiding is a deeper belief that I am bad. I'm really, really, really afraid of losing that. Because what I don't fully understand is that I'm afraid that if I lose that, I have to face the fact that I am bad. Right? And of course, money. Money could be both. Money could be the success. The money could be how I'm covering up the I am bad. But we all know in this world that money is how we cover up the fear that I'm unsafe as well, which is another primary fear, right? As long as I have money, I'm safe. So money could actually be covering up both of those false beliefs, the I am bad belief and the I am unsafe belief. So that means it doesn't really matter if I have 10 million, 20 million, 100 million. You know, if something happens, if something turns so that I lose that money, there's some money. if something happens so that I lose that money, two major beliefs that I'm trying to avoid because I think they're true are going to be exposed. Go ahead, Jay, if you want to. They're going to be exposed. If I lose my 10 million, I'm going to have to face the fact that I really think I'm a loser. Did he tear it in half when I wasn't looking? He did. I'm going to have to face the fact that it's only a $1 bill. I'm going to have to face the fact that I think I'm a loser and feel the unsafe belief at the same time. So interestingly, well, it's just what Derek Lynn says here. Listen to this again. Favor and disgrace make one fearful. The greatest misfortune is the self. What does favor and disgrace make one fearful mean? Favor is high, disgrace is low. Having it makes one fearful because you're afraid of losing it. And then, of course, losing it makes one fearful. This is favor and disgrace make one fearful. So the interesting thing about that is, looking at it from a strictly world-based point of view, I can't really win. Because if I'm poor and, you know, I have some menial, unimportant job, the way this world judges, my loser is probably going to be right out there. My belief that I'm a loser is going to be right out there in my heart all the time. I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve, as they say. My fear is going to be right there all the time. It's not at all covered up by anything. And I'm suffering because I think I'm not good enough. And I'm afraid, how am I going to pay the bills living, you know, paycheck to paycheck. So certainly that doesn't help, you know, being poor and in a menial, unimportant job and not being educated. And in fact, I think this is why so many poor people turn to things like drugs, and stuff like that, because really that's their way of repressing the I am bad thought and the I am unsafe thought. But what we're learning here is, even if I do get rich somehow, I come up with an idea, I patent it, I get rich, everything turns around. I always thought that getting rich would solve all of my problems. I always thought being admired by people would solve all my problems. But now all I've done is I've taken those same beliefs and I've repressed them. And now I'm scared to death. I live with, usually the way we experience it is stress. We call it stress rather than fear. Right? But what's really happening is I'm scared to death that at any moment something's going to happen where this mask of my respectability and my wealth is somehow going to be ripped away. And I'm going to be right back to being the loser and the unsafe one again. So I can't win with the world. The only way to win, well, that's really what the next section is all about. In fact, I'll go ahead and go back to Derek Lynn for a moment. What does the greatest misfortune is the self mean? The reason I have great misfortune is that I have the self. If I have no self, what misfortune do I have? That's the answer, right? That's the answer, which in our song a while ago was burn down this building, right? The answer is that I need to be willing to let go of the self entirely, because it doesn't really matter whether the self is rich and famous or poor and disgraceful. I got the same problem. You know, I've got the same problem. The only way to not have the problem is to let go of the self. And of course, that's what Awakening Together is all about. I'm sure you all know. I remember somewhere early when we first started, and we have those Awakening Together values, and one of the values, the third value, is very clear about the fact that we practice letting go of the self as who we are, the individual self as who we are. Somebody wrote to me, I don't remember who it was, but it was someone from the Course in Miracles community, objecting to that value. And basically saying, because of that one value, she could not be a member of Awakening Together. And I remember thinking, that's great. That's great. We really have a value here that separates those who, and I don't mean separation in a certain way, but I'll get back to that in a moment, that separates those who want to genuinely let go of the ego and awaken from those who are playing another spiritual game. And that's going to allow us to be more focused, right? That's going to allow us to be more focused. And that's what I mean by separate. In order to really be focused on these teachings that are all about letting go of the self, we have to eliminate the distractions. We have to eliminate the teachings that aren't about that. I love that article I read, even though sometimes Bentinho can sound kind of arrogant. I love that article I read from Bentinho at my last weekly gathering, the paragraph near the end where he was talking about, and if this isn't what you want, because he's talking about letting go of the self, if this isn't what you want, if you just want spirituality and you want to have a bunch of people over and talk about enlightenment, go ahead, buy Buddhist magazines and put them on your coffee table. I love that paragraph, even though it sounded a little arrogant, because there is a difference. There is a difference between being involved in spirituality because I am attracted to the idea of enlightenment, and being someone who wants to let go of the self, and then see, because you can't imagine what that means, right? So again, what today's verse is about, even though Derek Lynn unfortunately seemed to misunderstand. What today's verse is about is it doesn't matter how high you are in the society of the world or how low you are in the society of the world, nor would it matter at all where you are in between, you're going to experience fear. The only way to be free of fear is to be free of the self. And again, that's what we're here about. We aren't here just to enjoy seeing ourselves as spiritual people. I remember when I was doing my Buddha at the gas pump interview, I made a comment. I don't remember exactly what I said. I said something like wanting to be enlightened is not the same desire. And I can't remember what I talked about before. I don't remember if I talked about, wanting to awaken or wanting to let go of the self or what I had just said. What I really remember is saying, wanting to be enlightened is not the same desire. And I remember Rick Archer said, why not? And then for some reason, something happened and I didn't get to address that question. And that's kind of always stuck with me that I didn't get to address that question because I thought, there's probably a lot of people who don't understand the difference between wanting to be enlightened, I wanting to be enlightened, and wanting to, I'm going to use this word, sacrifice the self. That's why Joe versus the Volcano was a great movie for us. He was willing to sacrifice the self. A lot of people see enlightenment as actually just another status. Right? It's another status that they want to achieve. Some people want money. Some people want enlightenment. But in both cases, what's there is the person, the self. And again, we're here to let go of the self. And we can't imagine what that means. I'm now reminded of Peaceful Warrior when he's up on top of the clock tower and he's fighting with the ego, in this kind of vision that he's having, and he's trying to push the ego off the clock tower, and the ego screams at him, "Do you know who you are without me?" And the real answer to that question is no. That's the real answer. We may like to sometimes, depending on where we are on the spiritual path, pretend like we think we know. But at that point, that's exactly what we're doing. We're pretending like we think we know. When you get far along on this spiritual path, you realize you have no idea what letting go of the self is, what that experience will be. If you pay close attention to the teachings of Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta, what you understand is that you really don't understand their perspective. So what makes us want to do this, want to let go of the self? Well, I guess I have two answers, one of which is not mine. This is not true for me, but it's what this particular verse is pointing to. It's the only way to really let go of suffering. There's nothing in the world that you can do that's going to end suffering for you. The mind keeps telling, oh, if I move here, if I change this partner, if I do this, but you know, that's never ending and it's never ever going to end. The only way to really let go of suffering is to end the self, to burn down this building. The reason I say that's not mine is that it just isn't. I don't know how to say that. I guess I don't suffer enough. I haven't suffered enough in this lifetime, and I'm okay with that. I don't suffer enough to be motivated by trying to escape suffering. You know, I've just been a pretty damn lucky person, you know, so I'm not motivated by that, at least not yet. I'm motivated by simply wanting to know the truth. You know, that's what started me on this path. And that's what continues to open my heart. And I've told you this before, but I'll just tell you again. It all started with a prayer. And that prayer was, please show me the truth. I don't care what it is. And those words are very, very important because it means I want the truth for the truth's sake. I'm not seeking it because I think it will make me happy. I'm not seeking it because I think it will make me shine. You know, I remember I met this one person who was writing this book that she thought was channeled. I assure you it was not. May have been channeled from something, but it wasn't channeled from inner wisdom. But what this book told her was that she would be so loved that people would fall to their knees as she walked by. You know, and that's why she was on the spiritual path. She was trying to reach that point where she's so loved that people fall to their knees as she walks by. You know? Nisargadatta and Ramana Maharshi and A Course in Miracles and Michael Langford and many others say, you're not even aware of the world. You're not even aware of the world. Imagine that for a moment, folks, to whatever degree you can. There's a big, pardon the expression, a big ass difference between walking down the street and people fall to their knees because they adore you so much and not even being aware of the world. And so when some people are on this spiritual path, what they're really seeking is exactly what this particular verse says isn't it. They are seeking the favor that they think enlightenment will bring to them. Whether that's never having problems again, never having a sick body again, having people fall to their knees as you walk by, you know, having people look up to you as the one with the answers to all the questions, that's the favor. And this book doesn't separate favor and disgrace. It puts them in the same category, and it says what they have in common is that they're both fearful. Because if you gain that favor, I mean, I can think of one teacher, I won't mention his name, but he wears the white robes and he shaves his head and he's got the girls following him around. He's got the guru life. But what this is saying is that somewhere inside of him, there's this fear he's going to lose that. Right, this fear that somebody is going to expose him as a fake or something. It doesn't matter what kind of favor you finally achieve if you still have the self. The fear is still there. So this path isn't about becoming enlightened so that we can have the favor. And that's what I meant when I told Rick Archer that, again, whatever I said before, letting go of the self or awakening is not the same as wanting to be enlightened. That's what I meant. It's not wanting to have the favor. It's being willing to sacrifice the self, which really, and the reason I'm using the word sacrifice is because I think that's exactly what the ego tells us it is. You know, because what we're sacrificing is everything we know, understand, and believe in. The whole ball of wax. We're going to burn down this building, like the song said. We're sacrificing everything, not just the suffering. So why do we do that? I mean, if the only thing you want to escape is suffering, maybe you're accidentally seeking the favor, right? So why would you seek something that's beyond everything? I mean, I'm sitting here looking out the window. I can't quit looking out the window because I'm right next to this lovely creek and it just attracts my eyes and I'm watching the water flow. And it's such a joy to sit here and stare at this creek, right? Why would I want to go beyond this creek, go beyond these mountains, go beyond this life as I know it? And the answer that comes to me is because I know it's temporary. That's what comes. It doesn't matter how good it is, it's temporary. It's not real. That's the answer. It's temporary. It's not real. In fact, the very creek I'm sitting next to right now loving is the very creek that I'm told regularly might kill me. And that's okay. We'll see if it does. But you know, the point is that the beauty of this creek is not forever. You know, within 3 months, this creek could kill me. You know, there's nothing here that you can count on. The only thing you can count on is the truth. Right? And that's not exactly the same as trying to escape suffering. It's just wanting to know the truth, knowing that everything else isn't the truth. Everything else is changing. Everything else is temporary. Therefore, there's nothing else you can count on to stay the same. The only thing you can count on is the truth. And the only way to know the truth is to let go of the self. And so some of us step forward, knowing we don't know where we're going, but trying our best to go there anyway. And again, I've said this before, we are very lucky in awakening together because we do have all the right teachings. It's not like we have to seek. We only have to apply. So I said I was going to read Dr. Wayne Dyer, but I'm sitting here with Derek Lynn in my hands, but we'll have to switch in a moment since he mistranslated the last or misunderstood the last part. Favor and disgrace make one fearful. The greatest misfortune is the self. See, that's really clear, right? The greatest misfortune is the self. What does favor and disgrace make one fearful mean? Favor is high, disgrace is low. Having it makes one fearful. Losing it makes one fearful. This is favor and disgrace make one fearful. What does the greatest misfortune is the self mean? The reason I have great misfortune is that I have the self. If I have no self, what misfortune do I have? You know, this creek can only kill me in the world. You guys understand that, right? It can't kill me if I'm beyond the world. It can only kill the self. It can't kill life. It won't kill life. I mean, maybe this creek will flood, you know, and maybe, you know, things that people don't want to think about will happen. But there's no way that this little creek can destroy life. I mean, specific forms, yes, but not life. So when we let go of the self and we awaken to life as what we are, there is nothing to fear. It's beyond all possibility of fear. Only forms, only the idea that I am this form, only forms can fear. Let's go to Wayne Dyer now. Favor and disgrace seem alarming. High status greatly afflicts your person. Why are favor and disgrace alarming? Seeking favor is degrading, alarming when it's gotten, and alarming when it's lost. Again, because when you have it, you're afraid of losing it, right? Why does high status greatly afflict your person? The reason we have a lot of trouble is that we have selves. If we had no selves, what trouble would we have? Okay, now let's go to the third stanza. Man's true self is eternal. Yet he thinks, I am this body and will soon die. If we have no body, what calamities can we have? One who sees himself as everything is fit to be the guardian of the world. And again, you see yourself as everything because you are life awareness, and life awareness is everything, right? One who sees himself as everything is fit to be the guardian of the world. One who loves himself as everyone, right? Because you are life awareness and everyone is life awareness. One who loves himself as everyone is fit to be the teacher of the world. So that's pretty clear. Stephen Mitchell may have had a because again, he takes that creative license. I finally remembered how to say it. He takes that creative license. So let's see if he's put anything in here that's a little different. Yeah, he kind of has. He's added this idea of hope in here, which wasn't in the others. So let's look at this. He says, success is as dangerous as failure. Hope is as hollow as fear. And the others didn't say that, right, at all. So what does it mean that success is as dangerous as failure? Whether you go up the ladder or down it, your position is shaky. And we've talked about that, right? Because you still have the I am bad belief. You still have the I am unsafe belief. Basically, you still are, you know, still think you are the self, and you have all of that that comes with the self. So it doesn't matter where you are on that status ladder, you're going to have fear. You're going to suffer. So whether you go up the ladder or down it, your position is shaky. When you stand with your 2 feet on the ground, you will always keep your balance. And we'll just have to assume here that 2 feet on the ground means clear vision, that you know who you are and you know what you're looking at, right? Then he says, what does it mean that hope is as hollow as fear? He says, hope and fear are both phantoms that arise from thinking of the self. When we don't see the self as self, what do we have to fear? So although the basic idea is the same, he did add this hope that wasn't in the other two translations. So let's look at this, because a lot of people feel that hope is a good thing. And I would say at one point along the journey, even the spiritual journey, it is, right? You have hope that one day you will transcend this I am bad thought, right? and that's helpful. That keeps you going. If you didn't have hope that one day you would transcend this I am bad thought, for example, you might quit, you know, just start taking drugs like everybody else. So at one point along the journey, hope is helpful. But in another point along the journey, you come to realize that hope is merely a fantasy for the world to go your way so that you can feel safe and maybe worthwhile. Again, the creek that I'm sitting next to, which is really a river, but it's very small, so I call it a creek, but it's the Cucharis River. And what's happened here in Colorado last summer, we had a huge fire here, 109,000 acres were burnt. And when there's a huge fire, it changes the ground. The ground becomes like cement. And the rainwater doesn't absorb into the ground. It runs off. And so we have 109,000 acres of mountains here that will not absorb rainwater. And so that water, when the rain comes, is going to run off into the nearby rivers and creeks, and they can create enormous flash floods. In fact, there have been some flash floods in Manitou Springs after the Walsh Fire there 5 years ago. I saw a film of one of the flash floods, picked up an entire house with a woman in it and took that house down the road, you know, probably at a speed of about 15, 20 miles an hour. She got very lucky. It crashed. The road went around a curve around a hill, and the house crashed into the hill, and she was able to climb out of the house up onto the hill. And although she was very afraid and screaming, other than a broken hip, she was okay. I live right next to a creek that they say is going to do that. Let me show you. I tried showing the creek before. I don't think you can. Can you see it out there at all? Probably not. You can see where the trees are. Let me see. I'm going to unhook. Let me just take you out here. We'll just go right here and look at my creek. If I can remember how to do this. Stay. It's kind of a wet day. Whew, a lot of wind. Anyway, this is where I live. And There's the creek. You can see it now, right? It's not that far away. It's right there. Here's where I live. Here's the creek. So I get invited to all these meetings all the time that are always telling me how dire this situation is. And they show me these pictures that display this particular place under at least 5 feet of water. So hope, what would I hope for? Hope that it doesn't flood? Why would I hope that it doesn't flood? Wouldn't that just be from the perspective of the person? Right? I mean, think about it. So at some point you realize that even through hope, you're maintaining personhood. And that's why this says hope is as hollow as fear. Right? Don't get me wrong. I'd be thrilled if it doesn't flood. But it might or it might not. And where I really need to be, if letting go of self is my purpose, where I really need to be is accepting what is and continuing to meditate every morning. You see, that's what's important. Hope is as hollow as fear. Let the world be what the world is going to be. Don't even get concerned about that. If you get concerned about that, that's going to take you away from your meditation. You know, you're not going to be able to meditate. You're going to have all this stuff going on about whatever it is that you're fearful about, or whatever it is that you think needs to change, or whatever it is that you think needs to be different. The only way you can go into that meditation and really, really meditate is to have your mind be as free as possible from the world. As free as possible from the world. In fact, I have 4 minutes. Let me just share my screen real quick here. And I'll run over to this morning's journal. Oh, I don't like that thing. Let me get rid of that thing. I want to share my screen, but I don't want to share a part of it right now. I want to share the whole dang thing. There we go. Okay. So if I run to my journal, probably around 9/11A maybe. The mind, perception, is purified through remaining as the witness. Remaining as the witness is not giving believing attention to anything. Not acting from belief. Of course, rest, accept, and trust, and remaining in self-inquiry. These practices purify the mind and therefore purify perception. They also reprogram the brain. Live from these practices. That is simple to do now. A purified mind is able to concentrate consistently because it is not distracted by clutter. Therefore, a purified mind is prepared to focus on the presence sense, which some people would call the I am, to the exclusion of all else. Since one awakens beyond the presence sense by focusing on the presence sense, to the exclusion of all else, purification is an important part of the awakening process. So what this is saying, again, is that instead of being caught up as the self, even with hope, right? Hope that the flood won't occur, for example. What I need to do is just be the witness of what is, keep my mind as pure as possible so that I can have the concentration that's required during meditation to awaken. See how that works? If the mind is stained with fear and with hope, it's going to distract the meditation. So what does it mean that hope is as hollow as fear? Hope and fear are both phantoms that arise from thinking of the self. When we don't see the self as self, what do we have to fear? See the world as yourself. Have faith in the way things are. Love the world as yourself. Then you can care for all things. And by the way, I did join the Red Cross so that if this flood does occur, I can be there caring for people who are afraid. All right, I'm going to let go of the mic, take a drink of water, and then pretend like I'm the admin.
Thank you, Regina. Great teaching, as always. Yeah, that was perfect. Okay, so sure I have an announcement. My kitty was up here, and I moved things around.
That's okay, Jacqueline. You just take a moment. I'll make up an announcement. I don't have one. In fact, I don't have the announcements. I noticed you were reading them. I don't have them. But I know what's going on in this
good
organization. So you go ahead and I'll take over now as the admin. So hi, everybody. This is Regina, your friendly admin.